You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Oteche deta Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akalise na Madiba's Radio.
Lalele I Madiba's Radio.
Ulalele Madiba's Radio.
Niko chechereza Madiba's Radio.
Oredije Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio. Opening up the waves for you to be heard.
What it do and what's up? You are connected to the Law Show Science Package on Madiba's Radio Podcast, where we can connect, inform, and absolutely engage. My name is Katlego Mofokeng. I'm also known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets. And today's pants are a skirt. But I'm here with someone absolutely lovely. I cannot travel alone.
Thank you so much. My name is Tsoke Telondlovu, the brightest star on radio. And listen, the tea this today is just
piping hot.
It's piping.
Piping hot.
Like these politicians.
So many things are happening.
Like it's going down.
Oh, honestly, we're diving into the Patriotic Alliance. Who would have thought that the Patriotic Alliance would be clowns of the week?
Literally, like.
Basically. Because so much drama in one party.
Like, ha, guys, what's going on? Like, you're just looking at it like,
enough is enough. Women's Month came to collect, and it really is collecting.
And it's just like, we're watching with popcorn, like, what's going down? What's like...
Honestly.
Because it's interesting.
But now, we're not just looking at the Patriotic Alliance, we're also looking at the new traffic laws, we're looking at a marine biologist who's doing the absolute most, and then from then on, we're going into the schools. Is it a good thing that teachers are encouraging their learners to go for Maths Lit? We're going to talk about all of this today, you know, but we're going to first start with the L's.
The big bombs.
The big L's that were taken by the Patriotic Alliance. And first, it wouldn't make sense for us not to tell you about Ugeni Kunene.
Hey.
Now, recent developments in South African politics have put the Patriotic Alliance back in the spotlight. Last month, on the 27th of July, PA Deputy President Ugeni Kunene resigned his positions in Johannesburg government after being found at the home of murderer suspect Katiso KT Molefe.
What was he doing there?
Who is this person? If you wanted to know who Katiso KT Molefe is, he is a Gauteng-based businessman accused by the state of orchestrating multiple serious crimes, including the murders of DJ Somebody and Vintos, drug trafficking, possession of unlicensed firearms, and more. Police's political killings task team arrested him, and during a court appearance, prosecutors described him as a dangerous individual with no regard for human life, citing WhatsApp and ballistic evidence linking him to the murders and organized violence in the region. He remains a suspect in high-profile, politically charged crimes. Now, authorities were at his home to serve arrest warrants and detain him for these alleged crimes, which is the incident that led to Ugeni Kunene being found there. Now, Ugeni said he was there for the right reasons, escorting a journalist for an interview, but the police arrival led to his suspension from party duties. You are in the house of a murderer.
What are you doing there?
Chilling.
Why?
On his couch.
Just having tea, just having a good time.
A conversation with somebody who has an arrest warrant out.
Like, and he's trying to defend the situation, but we're like,
like, you're an ex-convict, sir.
Like,
and you are right now officially part of our government.
Mm.
And then you're in the house of a murderer. What are we supposed to think? This is Ugeni Kunene. I mean, this is the same man who ate sushi off a woman's body and it was controversial.
Literally.
As hell. So this is his stuff.
And I don't understand why he's so shocked. Like, did he not think about that before? That, listen, of course the public is going to have something to say.
Of course, you're in the public eye. What more did you expect? Like, you're going to be sitting in this man's... And you're saying, oh, yes, you brought a journalist. Why? Also, where's the impartiality of said journalist?
True, because there was nothing mentioned about the journalist.
Who
and
is
their
this journalist? What publication are they from? Are they a broadcaster? Mm. Are they a radio presenter or a TV presenter or a news broadcaster?
True.
We don't know anything about this.
They're just a mysterious journalist. It could even be an excuse at this point.
It really could be.
You can just call anybody a journalist.
You could just be like, you're a stalker, but today you're a journalist, babe. Like, go with it, go with it. Ask questions because it's shaky.
It is very shaky.
The fact that he had to lose his job is insane, but also... rightfully so.
Definitely, because what were you doing?
Exactly. Especially with like the high corruption that we're facing right now, for the fact that we have a commission of inquiry into quite a lot of the things that had happened. And you know what the worst thing is?
Yeah.
To give you background. So this arrest for Kagiso KT Molefe,
yeah,
right, came up after, you know, General Mkhwanazi went and had a press conference.
Yes.
So he was telling us that his task team had been shut down and all of the files taken.
Like, taken, like, as in, like, missing? Or?
They no, they were just like, you guys don't have these files. And you're not going to take these documents anymore. You're not going to push anything. We are taking it as the national office.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, oh, weird, but okay.
Okay, what can you do at that point?
And then it started looking shady because he's like, wait a minute. We're investigating, like, really high-profile cases right now. DJ Somebody's death. We're looking at DJ Vintos. We're looking at other things.
Mm.
So if you're taking our dockets, are they not compromised?
True, because what must happen afterwards?
What's going to go on? Mm. So then after that, he went and had his press conference. And obviously, you know, they were like, okay, we're going into a commission of inquiry. But then the dockets were taken back to the task team. This task team then went out, wrote up warrants, and one of the people was Kagiso KT Molefe.
Ooh.
That's so how deep it goes.
It goes deeper. To think it goes all the way there and it's, like, it's connected.
If Mkhwanazi is looking for you, hide.
Literally, because...
Hide, pray, do something. But there's just no way. If it goes back from something that big that says there's clearly been some kind of influence into the political task team closing down. And then when the task team opens up again, then they go to arrest somebody. And then they find the person with someone from government.
Mint.
It really does say, yeah, no, your task team was closed down because of government influence.
True. And if government influence is looking shaky, you have to deal with it. Like,
exactly.
Unfortunately, you got to be like, listen, somebody's going to lose their job.
One of the entire country was ready to do the most after that. Like, when Cyril said, we're going to have a family meeting as a people so we can figure out what to do with this Mkhwanazi thing, people were like, we're ready to riot right now. So clearly the country is on its toes, ready to fight. And then Kenny Kunene comes out and he's sitting in a murderer's house.
House, like, get serious.
What did you expect was going to happen? Motembeni.
Honestly, it doesn't make sense because you knew it was going to cause trouble.
Right?
Like, you knew very well that, yeah, it's going to look shaky. But I guess, you know, maybe in his mind, he was like, it doesn't matter.
It's
like,
never that deep. We can always fight it.
Like, you know, I'm powerful. I can just be like, guys, you know.
It's like, they were just like, oh, no. Oh, so then Gayton responds and says, no, you know, Kenny, I've known him a long time. You know, he's not a crook. This is someone who was arrested, but okay, he's not a crook. He's not somebody who's going to do you dirty or anything like that. And we're like, maybe not from you,
but
maybe not coming from you for us to be certain whether or not Kenny is actually doing murky, murky things. But yeah, no. He was immediately placed on leave pending an investigation. And then his resignation stated that he would await the clearing of his name before considering a return to public service.
Who is going to clear his name?
Who is going to clear his name?
It's like he's sitting there like, somebody's going to clear my
name.
Somebody's
going to avenge me.
South Africa, help me.
Fight with me. And South Africa's just like, what is happening? But the main question is, who have we elected right now into government?
True. To...
For this extent?
Like,
if his ties are just to this one person, you can imagine how much more we don't know.
To think, you could even say maybe everybody there is just, they got their own skulls in the closet.
Everything is murky. Nothing is cute right now. And so opposition parties renewed calls for inquiries into Kunene's work and projects under his transport portfolio. So everything he'd done from the beginning of the GNU in his position is going to be under investigation. Can you imagine having a tender under transport and Kenny signed off on it?
Now
they're just like, we need to audit. Oh, no ways.
It's chai at that point.
No ways.
Because you know how long that's going to take.
Exactly.
And it's like, what if you weren't even guilty, but because Mr. Kenny decided to do weird things.
Now you are under watch.
Ish.
I worry about that. I really do. Because transport is like a very, very big thing. It's a big portfolio to be the head of.
So the fact that if you mess it up, it affects the whole economy at this point.
It really does.
And then we're also going to feel like, wow, like, just because of somebody decided to have tea at a murderer's house. Ah, what, guys? Like,
I need you guys to do better.
Come on.
I need you to. Because now, Mackenzie's announced Liam Jacobs, which is a former DA MP, as Kunene's replacement, on the mayoral committee. He was sworn in and signed in as a councillor last Friday. But they're saying he doesn't seem like the right replacement for Kenny. He is 24 years old.
Oh, okay.
Has no experience on a portfolio of that magnitude.
True.
And they're like, but he doesn't really know enough for him to be able to be called an MMC. Maybe let's just put him under a different portfolio. And the PA is saying, we said Liam Jacobs, so Liam Jacobs it will be.
I see why. Like, I support the notion in terms of, like, having youth in parliament. Like, yeah. I like that.
Love it.
But at the same time, it's like...
At 24?
And especially, like, the amount that you're responsible for.
Exactly.
It's like, is it a good idea?
Like also, who else is helping you? Because we're not going to play and act like you didn't just... It's basically like a Floyd Chivambo situation where Floyd went from EFF to MK and then, you know, went and created the constitution and whatever else. But this is somebody who had a widespread amount of experience. So we knew, okay, he is very, very well versed in, you know, things like politics and whatever else. Yeah. He has literally helped build a political party from the ground up. We get why. Liam Jacobs just jumped from the DA recently.
Please,
and so... even then was controversial. Now he's there and they're saying MMC, MMC!
Hey, bana, like, it's like, it's insane. Because, not to say we don't trust him, but...
It's shaky.
It is shaky. It's risky. It's
shaky. We're just babies, honestly.
Like,
we're babies. Please. Like, yes, definitely give the youth an opportunity to, you know, prove themselves. But let's not do it on... Let's not set him up for failure.
True.
But the PA is saying he's good. He's fine. I was like...
Okay.
Well, it's very hard to trust that he is doing anything because, well, Gates and McKenzie's also another problem.
These problems, like...
Like...
Problem after problem. So like, you can't trust anybody at this point.
And now, we don't doubt the fact that the PA is possibly, you know, representing its constituents' ideals and whatever else. However, the things that we have found out... Now, when I give you context... There's a podcast.
Hey, podcast.
Not ours.
You, like, don't... It's not from here.
It's not from here. But there's a podcast. And they had a lot to say about colored people.
Imagine.
And, yeah, no. Social media took not the greatest liking to it. But we also need you to hear it for yourself so you can actually understand the gist of the situation. So this is what was said. Nah, don't judge us. We're telling you, we're helping you listen to what's going on. So yeah, it was a bit murky for a minute. And yeah, no, listen.
Siblings.
Ah!
You don't know.
Ah!
No, but I believe that because colors are crazy.
Ah! Oh,
colors are crazy.
Crazy in the
room. They chow each other, those are.
Yeah.
What do you what do you even say to that? Because you're just like,
hey, it's one thing. Okay, so if we're gonna put it in like specific terms, nah? First of all, that was racist.
Literally.
We're going to put it there. That was racist. Also, you are telling us that colored people are incestuous.
It's a big claim.
It's a leap because it's an entire group of people. That's like a big stereotype. They're saying they're incestuous.
On a public platform.
Mm-hmm, during the people.
With your full chest.
And then you're going and making derogatory comments and going as far as to say they are mentally ill. Not even mentally ill, they're crazy.
Imagine.
Yo, every day we stray further and further from God's light.
I thought we were going further as a society. But, you know, when things like this happen, you're like,
you really do question it. Because you're like, okay, maybe racism isn't as prevalent anymore. And you're thinking maybe we're stuck with things like institutional racism. But then people are this cavalier about saying things like this. And you're like, oh, okay.
We haven't gotten anywhere. Like,
we might still be in the same space.
You know?
What do you think?
You know, I do agree with you. Like, first of all, it was racist, you know, and calling a whole group of people incestuous and using derogatory stereotypes. Yeah, you can't come back from that.
You really can't.
You can't. Like, and I know they really tried to kind of save themselves. No, guys, we're just...
Exactly.
You in the pot, they said it with their full chest.
They really did. And they were so... Look, ne, as a group of young people, I can understand that we have opinions on things and we also have our life experiences. But I think understanding that the internet is forever will help you understand the way in which you need to go about things. Because now you're out here acting a fool. And this will always be there. This is going to follow you.
True. No matter, like, if it goes, like, it no longer changes on social media. Yeah. It will always be there on your reputation.
Even if you start a war on Twitter, they're going to be like, aren't you the one who was out here saying? We can pull up that audio if you want us to. Then what?
Then what must happen? And it's crazy because people always say, freedom of speech. We all have freedom of speech. But with every right, there's a responsibility.
Exactly. And there are limitations to these freedoms. Understand that. There are limitations to these freedoms. Look at your constitutions, guys, please. Like, hey, because if this is a constitutional matter, it's going to get murky very quickly. Very quickly. If any of you know who Vicky Momberg is, you will know what happened to Vicky Momberg when she said those things. She made derogatory comments and called black people the K word.
Oh.
From then on, she was arrested.
Straight to jail.
Vicky was put in jail for that because what? It is a constitutional crime. Like, that's actual hate speech.
Mm.
So you need to understand the fact that with every right, there really is a responsibility. And you could catch yourself in jail.
And quick, very quickly.
And then you're
like...
You'll learn different things. You guys are saying weird things like chowing. You'll really find out what that means in jail.
Literally.
It's very uncomfortable. But MultiChoice has responded by distancing itself from the show, noting that its contract with DSTV had already ended before the episode aired.
Ooh. I guess
that's such
a
business thing.
True.
It's such a business people thing to say, you know, like, we're not a part of this.
We look the other way.
We didn't have a contract with them, so please don't think of anything other than...
And it's like, I feel like a lot of social media have been talking about this podcast and been like, they've been saying wild things for a long time.
Really?
They like, especially things that are like misogynistic and controversial. Goodness. They've been on this wave. And now all of a sudden, not to say like this was like the cut of the straw, but it's like it was due to happen.
It was always going to be a problem. Yeah. And so, I think this is just one of those issues.
Exactly. So like the fact that MultiChoice is only cutting the cord now.
Says something.
Says something of like all the other things that have been said that they just look the other way for. So now they're acting all innocent. It's like,
Because they were very quick to cut the cord with MacG.
True.
But these youngsters... Not really. They got multiple chances. So it's like, you've been playing in our face, MultiChoice. What's going on?
Like, don't act like you're not involved when...
Yeah, you're actually the tea stirrer. But we're going to relate this to the Patriotic Alliance. Gates and McKenzie came out the gate saying, no. What you're not going to do is get all racist and talking about colored people. They have filed cases. They're suing these people. They're telling them that, you know what, you're going to be canceled. And you are doing well. Absolutely cancel them. What they said is racist, derogatory, all of that.
Tatum
doing
McCourt.
So
love
well.
It.
Suing is where they drew the line on Twitter. Suing, they were like, oh, this is great. As soon as it entered the court... Civil court at that, they said, oh no, what we're not going to do is that, especially because you said this, this, and the other. And Gayton McKenzie's past came to haunt him.
Social media.
Yo, the internet is forever, guys. Please understand this. The internet is forever. Tweets from 2011 were surfacing with him saying really, really messed up things, saying, what do you think being a black diamond is, or a clever black, you think, and you know, there was one tweet where he was talking about, you know, the guys in the back of a buggy.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, no, why do white people always do that and they never have somebody sitting up front with them? And he said, I wouldn't want those people riding up front with me either. They stink. And it's like, hey, what do you mean by that? Like, also, it's the way, like, the phrasing of a lot of his tweets really does look racially charged. Because you're like, a lot of what you're saying is just, like, really, really weird. And now they're digging up this man's ethnicity, his past, his father, his mother, his dad's actual surname. There's so much.
And it's just, like, all from a court case.
Exactly.
Like, and I'm pretty sure he didn't think this was going to happen.
I don't think he thought that this was going to go far.
He was like, you know, he's going to sue Orphan Chat and it's going to call a day.
Yeah, everyone's going to be like, yes, yeah. When I mean, it's like, you're doing the right thing. Racism is wrong. Let's fight against it. And everyone was like, not you calling out racism when you're racist yourself. Because you said a lot of these things. And now it's begging the question. The man himself says he is partly black. And it's just like, don't do that. That's like, not, it's not America here.
Yeah.
We don't use the K word, you know, as slang. None of that. That's always been a term that we know is used by the oppressor. So we're not very colloquial with the K word here. So don't think that just because you are partly black now.
You can say it.
No.
Like. No.
Mind you, elections are coming up. Local elections are coming up. How do you think it's going to look in the streets for him?
Literally, it's... Did he think about that?
Did he?
Because if he thought in the long term...
Exactly. People don't realize, oh, politics. There's a reason why people go to school and study politics, guys. There's a reason why people actually put in the work and learn from different types of people. You don't just become a politician overnight. You don't just get into public office overnight. You have to understand there are lots of things in politics. Because right now he's saying this is a campaign by the EFF and some Twitter influencers to bring him down. Hey?
Like,
excuse you.
Where did the EFF even come from?
Exactly.
Like, now he's dragging the EFF influencers and it's like, as a politician, now this is getting messy.
Exactly.
Like, it's giving influencers trying to, like, stop themselves from getting canceled by bringing other people down. And exactly. It's like, sir, you grown. You're a politician.
Stand on business.
You know?
This is what you said. Own it. I think most people, if you own, look, what you said was racist, absolutely. Own the fact that you've said these things. Stand on it. People don't, I don't even think you're going to be forgiven for things like that, especially derogatory comments, especially because of the kind of time we're living in right now. But I think it would have been better if you just stood by it.
True. And just
and been like, look, this happened and I'm sorry.
Instead of now playing these games that are just causing more damage.
Because now you're playing in our face.
Yeah.
You're testing us and our intelligence. And what does that mean?
And one thing about Africa, we don't play. You play games in our face, you're going to learn. You're going to learn that we're not, please.
It's been a mess. Now, they led legal action, obviously, to shut down the podcast. They called for accountability. They demanded SABC cancel the show and threatened legal steps. But when his past came back, where he was using the K word and black diamond, the fallout was pretty swift. Civil society and political groups condemned those slurs. And on the 9th of August, Action SA formally reported Minister McKenzie to the South African Human Rights Commission for his racist remarks and slur usage. Politics.
You know?
Like, you want to know what real politics is? That.
Exactly.
Because one thing about them, they will file a charge. Look at what they did to Malema with the Kill the Boer song. And look at how long it took for him to beat those charges in and out of court. Now look at Gateson. He's about to face the same thing. So you just have to learn from people before you.
And just be like, you have to act a certain way or else you're going to get a charge.
Like.
And once you get a charge, it's kind of chai. Like.
Yo. I think the worst thing is, guys, Kenny and Gateson were chilling.
Literally, they were just...
They were enjoying their portfolios. Yo,
they were doing what they need to do. All of a sudden...
I've never seen somebody fall from grace this quickly. It's been such an interesting thing to see. People are digging up so many things, though. And I think it begs the question, Guys, what were you doing during elections? Where were you?
True.
Where were these tweets during elections? Why were you not looking them up? What's going on?
It's clearly that during elections, we're just like, oh, we just see the fancy colors and there's nice statements and we're like, let's vote.
And we hope for the best.
You know, like...
We could have known all of this in the past. And it begs the question, do we do research about the people that were voting into government? Do we know them? Because knowing... I mean, Liam Jacobs, everyone's like, oh, it's a big thing. He's moving to Patriotic Alliance. I didn't know he was 24.
So...
I didn't know. I mean, I knew about Gayton's past and everything. I don't think I knew about the racial parts, though.
True.
Didn't know about that.
So now it's a question of like, we don't know Liam now, so who knows? Like maybe tomorrow, boom, boom, something could happen.
Something could... Someone could wake up and say, hey,
sir,
your little minister over there. Then what happens?
And now it's like, so I feel like that's why we should always do research.
It has been one of the messiest things ever. Because Action SA said that as a sitting cabinet minister, Mackenzie must uphold the country's constitutional values and that no reasonable person can defend his comments as anything but demeaning.
Facts.
Like, there's just no going back when you say something like this.
Especially as a politician, like, come on now.
This government of national unity is showing us flames.
Literally, there's so many things going on everywhere.
All the time.
And it's like, what does this call for the country? Like, what does this say about South Africa?
You.
Like.
No, the government of national unity. Look, I didn't understand the ANC and MK, the EFF and MK stepping off from the GNU, not being a part of it. I understood that the DA didn't want that because they would have called it a doomsday coalition had the EFF and ANC come together. Fact. Fine. We knew MK wasn't going to go into it because Zuma immediately called for Cyril Ramaphosa's immediate resignation. Then he would join the GNU and they said, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So we knew about that. Yeah. But now looking at what the GNU looks like, I don't know. I think they made a smart move not being a part of it.
True.
Because this... It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's messy. And imagine if everybody was a part of it.
Oh.
Yo.
We would never get anything done, though.
Yeah, it would just be...
We wouldn't have anything getting done. And also, no one would be opposed to anything because they'd be colluding together.
True.
Which is kind of messed up. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, super great that you guys didn't join into it. You guys are opposing parties and whatever else. But... we have had a lot happen in this country. The white genocide was just this year.
Literally. It wasn't too far back.
It really wasn't. And that had the DA around it.
It had Donald Trump around it.
It had ANC in it also. You know, that was that mess. Then there was the higher education minister and hiring her own people to be part of a board. That's an ANC thing. And now, Patriotic Alliance, guys...
Who's next at this point?
You. It's the real politicians of the GNU for real.
Like.
It is reality TV.
Like when you watch their meetings and stuff, you're not even like watching for politics. You're just watching for drama at this point.
For drama.
Because they're even fighting their own personal issues. Because now it's like, it's no longer a thing of like, now we keep professional. We only talk about politics.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to take out your files.
They came at John Steenhuisen within the first week and they were like, you have a matric. Sit down.
Like
sit down and let the bachelor speak. And it was like, how? Why are you guys coming at people like this? And they're like, do you know what kind of portfolio he holds? And now it's the same thing with Gayton. Just like, you're an ex-convict with racist remarks on your Twitter feed. Sit down. like, sit down.
Come on.
They're never not going to bring this up in parliament in future.
Because it's going to be the topic forever.
It's going to be you know, I miss Mbuyiseni Ndlozi in parliament. I really miss him in parliament like now.
Because, hey.
He would have had a field day with this.
Like, no one would know peace.
Like, I miss him in parliament. But also, the fact that we have him now as like an analyst of sorts is interesting.
True.
I just would have loved him in parliament. He would have been standing and been like, Bona, motion of no confidence in this gen dip now.
Because.
Let's get it together.
because at this point, nobody's innocent.
You know?
Everybody's got files. And now I feel like as Africa, we just need to uncover it slowly and slowly and slowly until...
Let me tell you something. The people that actually started the GNU are not the same people today. John Steenhuisen came in with a staff member. I think he's chief of staff.
Mm.
His chief of staff got fired for racist remarks at the very beginning of the GNU.
Imagine.
One down from DA.
Like?
Recently, earlier this year, one other minister was fired for taking leave and going to the US and speaking with the government about this white genocide. And they were like, it's not your place to do that. Fired. DA's got two people down.
Down already. Mm. Like.
ANC. Hey. If we start there, we'll never finish.
Literally, because it's always just
they
something.
They have a very long list of things. There's a lot of problems there. Okay.
Mm.
Now the Patriotic Alliance started with Kenny Kunena. Down.
Down. Gayton. Down.
Exactly.
So.
Who's next?
Next. At this point, by the next national election, what is the GNU at this point?
Even people outside of the GNU, look at the EFF. Started off with Floyd Chivambu. Gone.
Mm.
Floyd Chivambu in the MK. He's now officially been removed from his position.
Yeah.
He's no longer part of the MK. Zuma's also facing a little bit of a problem there.
Because it's like, sir, you were president now.
Exactly.
Like, that's a whole other topic
in
itself.
That's a mess of its own. Like, that's a mountain. Like, the MK needs its own podcast.
Because
that's a lot. There's a lot going on there.
When they, like, started, I had a lot of questions.
Ooh,
I was just like, okay.
I still do. I'm also wondering about the MK on campus.
True.
Ooh. Presidential debate's going to happen, though. Mm. Don't worry about it.
We're going to get those questions.
We're going to get those questions. But yeah, it's been a lot of mess. And there have been other people that have been fired for derogatory comments. So we know that there really is a very interesting policy there to show that, okay, no, you're not going to play in our faces and do funny things.
True.
So clearly we can believe in government again.
Mm.
But, you know, it's a bit murky.
Yeah, with corruption sometimes. No, and that's the sucky thing about it. It's like you shoot one person down, five other people go down with them.
Yep.
And now it's like, okay, so is it all of you?
Yeah.
Like,
because how did Mkhwanazi's files lead to this many arrests and this much of a domino effect? That man didn't know what he was doing. When he sat there on TV in front of us, he didn't know.
It's about to go down.
He is literally... everything is falling out like a house of cards.
Literally. Like, it's giving the Epstein files of US.
And even those haven't been released.
Literally,
so you know
that, hey.
Nothing is cute in South Africa. But you know what? The government is trying to do better.
You know, they always try.
They really are. I mean, look at the new traffic laws.
Ah, those are actually very interesting, actually. Like... And South Africans were shook because for the first time, they're like, listen.
It's looking murky. Also, now it's going to be very interesting for the people, obviously, that are going to come up into things. But we're going to give you context first before we just jump into it. In December 2024, Cyril Ramaphosa signed into law a sweeping National Road Traffic Amendment Act. This amendment act enacts far-reaching changes to the country's road traffic regulations. Now, according to the presidency, the new law covers driver fitness, vehicle safety, dangerous goods transport, the general speed limit, and crucially, the integrity of licensing processes.
Mm, the big one.
Ooh.
The big one.
In practical terms, the law imposes more stricter rules on examiners and licensing. For example, it allows for the suspension or cancellation of an examiner's registration if they have conflicts of interest. Ooh. So if an examiner perhaps has personally connected to businesses like driving schools, vehicle manufacturers, repair shops, or transport services, they are now disqualified from their role.
Ooh.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Right?
Because from the stories we hear...
Some people get their licenses because the owner of the driving school is also known inside the traffic department as what.
And now, Now that can't happen.
Now that can't happen.
But now people cannot, you know, add an extra...
Exactly.
An extra fee to it just to get it.
None of those things. Mm. You don't get... Yeah. But it also imposes traffic officers and inspectors not to have undisclosed stakes in transport enterprises. It targets corruption by preventing any involved in licensing from having side deals. Mm. It also regulates the driving schools and testing centers themselves.
Ooh, so it's going everywhere. It's going everywhere.
You're saying inside the traffic department, we're going to just clean up. Mm. But driving schools also need to be cleaned up. And these new provisions require the registration and grading of training centers and driving license testers, which is interesting. Mm. I would have just imagined that if somebody has a driving school, that there was a need for them to be registered and they be graded by their training centers. True. I mean, that's what happens at restaurants. You know, that's how you can tell they're inspected.
Yeah.
So I would have assumed that, like, there had to be compliance with certain types of requirements for you to say, I have a driving school officially.
And that you can now go and teach other people. So now when you're finding out that that's not actually the case, you're like, oh.
Like, wait a minute.
So can anybody just now...
It begs the question, all the driving schools I've been going to, what's going on?
Like, are we learning the right things at this point?
Like, wait a minute. All these, the trucks we're seeing, look, we have driving schools on campus. Mm. People are learning how to drive. Guys, are these people registered?
I feel like that's a mission on its own to go ask them, are you registered?
Where,
like,
do you start?
Even? That's the thing.
It's just like my sister, do you want a license or do you want to ask questions?
Like, that's the response. Like,
do you want to drive or what? What's going on? Are you here to drive or here to ask questions? Are you a journalist? What's going on?
Because it's like they got a business. They got to make people pass. But how are they doing that?
Exactly.
And is it legal?
And also... It begs the question, guys, what are you guys as drivers doing on the road then?
Yo.
Because look, we know, we understand. I think it's an open secret, the whole bribing in order to get a license thing. It's an open secret, and oftentimes it's so deeply entrenched that, like, it's almost at every driving center or testing center. Fine.
Mm.
But now it's like, you do realize you could get charged with that.
Right?
Now you can get charged for fraud in that. That's what people don't realize.
True.
Assisting a learner to cheat on a license test is now listed as a criminal offense.
You can get arrested.
You can get arrested now.
Mm. It's no longer like a norm or like everybody does type of thing. It's like, not anymore, child.
So many things are going to be happening on the road. I am so scared. You know what I'm scared for? Taxis. Mm.
Taxis.
I'm scared for taxis.
Because even with taxi associations.
Exactly.
Hey.
There's already mess happening there. I think transport, this is also the worst possible time, I think, for Kenny Kunene to, like, literally lose his job. Because this is his portfolio.
So now Liam.
And Liam is 24. At 24, you're thinking about these things.
Ah.
All on your own.
Own.
You have to implement these things also. Because it's not just about legislation. Mm. You have to implement legislation. How do you implement legislation? It's not just with traffic officers. It is also with the police. It's also with ambulance. Did you know ambulances and other service cars now have a speed limit even in the event of an emergency?
Really?
Even with the sirens on.
I didn't even know that there's a speed limit for them.
Like, now they have one? And it begs the question, because one thing about an ambulance, if it's in high traffic, it will pass you.
Yeah.
And it'll drive super fast. And you ask, like, okay, what about accidents happening and the
True.
Like?
True, because now it's like you're trying to save a life, but then you could also...
Take one.
Exactly.
So...
It's just, when it comes to transport, there's just a lot. Because even now, I'm looking at, like, even the fines are changed.
Ooh.
The fines are now more expensive.
Tell me more.
Like, for example, driving, like, 30 kilometers over the speed limit. Previously, you'd pay $250. Now you're going to pay $750.
Ooh, why didn't they add 500 rand?
Literally. Jumping a red light was 500.
Mm-hmm.
1.5.
You.
Not wearing a seatbelt was 200, 1,000. Mobile phone use when driving. 250, now it's going to be 1,250.
You?
Expired license disc was 500, 1.2. And finally, drunk driving, which was a court case, now is like court. Like, you're going to get arrested and it's chai.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Jealous boys in Joburg are probably trembling. This is how they get their breakfast money. What do you mean that you guys are not going to be able to charge people for this? 1.2 is a lot of money.
It is.
I think this has the potential to go really well or really badly.
True, because in a really well situation, you can be like, okay, you know, you get it, because it us as citizens, we're more responsible. Not use our phones, not go over the speed limit, not jump red lights, because we are supposed to be doing that, of course.
Exactly.
So
now you're more incentivized. I mean, you're trying to pay 1.2. Like, an entire stack.
Like, come on now. But at the same time, with some of these traffic officers.
Exactly. It's going to be like, do you want to pay 1.2? Or are you going to give me this money? Now your cost-benefit analysis is looking very murky.
The coke is now a car installment now.
Yeah, no. Like, the coke is looking a little bit more like some Hennessy.
Like,
it's looking a little expensive.
So it's like,
Yo, these new laws are insane. But I think I like the way we're going with our law.
Yes.
The implementation of our law is kind of murky. And that's the sad part about it. We have, like they said, the most equal constitution, the best constitution in the world. We have great laws, great legislation. But we're a corrupt country.
So it's just like,
we are really corrupt, guys. Like, deeply, deeply entrenched. You know what a cold drink means in front of a traffic officer. This is an officer of the law.
But
you're already thinking, yo, there's a 200 rand in the dashboard over there. I'm not wearing my seatbelt and I don't have a license. The best I can do is give him 200 rand and a drumstick from my KFC and hope for the best.
But it's like, when you think about it, it's like, hey, firstly, why were you even driving without a seatbelt?
You see? Also, why don't you have a license?
Exactly.
All of these things. And now you're like, guys, we understand what necessitated it. A lot of people lose their lives on the roads.
True.
To many, many, many factors. So we get why it's being legislated and also regulated this much. But also, is there sense in it? I'm just thinking about, like, I'm from the hood. I'm not going to lie to you. I just don't think it's going to be implemented well.
Definitely. And even like, there was also another legislation of like how to lower the speed limits by like 10 or 20 kilometers everywhere. When I heard of that, I was like,
don't do it.
Are we being real right now?
Yeah, like, please be so for real right now. That's not going to work. Legislating this is going to be so, so problematic.
Because
I'm shocked every day, actually. You wake up in this country and it's like a bit of a mess.
Now it's like, even with the traffic laws, it's like demerits.
Honestly.
Like, you get 15, suspended.
When else did I see a demerit in high school?
Literally.
Now we're like grown people with actual Oh, I'm so glad I don't drive. Yeah. Also, guys, invest in a K53. Clearly you're going to need it now. There's no way to cheat anymore. There's just no possible. But you know what? Even during COVID, people found ways to cheat. So you know what?
So people always find
people
ways.
People always find very, very ulterior ways to just do whatever. But oh no. I am very, very scared about the implementation of it. I think especially in Joburg, I'm not sure about like driving. Okay, no, actually. In Gqeberha, it's more of a drunk driving thing. That's the most biggest thing to worry about. In Joburg, it's recklessness. Speeding, drunk driving, you name it.
Everything just goes down.
It's happening in Joburg. Yeah. That's my biggest worry. Joburg and Pretoria. And also how deeply entrenched corruption is. Do you know apparently in Pretoria, if a cop stops you and you don't have money, they're taking what you're eating. There was a lady who was eating a kota and they were like, give me that kota, my sister. You don't have money. Do you not want to go home? Give me that kota. And that lady, they were like, don't even bite it.
Like,
don't even bite into it. Give the entire thing to me. And they took it and they left.
Her poor kota.
Imagine.
Like,
an entire meal. Yo, I'm tired. I've had a long day. I want a kota. And next thing you know, I'm not wearing a driver's a seatbelt. And then they're like,
you can't eat that now. Quota. Like,
what you're going to eat is the regret from not putting on that seatbelt. So let's get popping.
It's crazy. Like, driving is just, it's a crazy concept.
I don't know how y'all do it. Could never be me.
Because
I'm not built for that lifestyle.
Yo.
I am not built for that lifestyle at all.
it's a lot. Especially with these new laws, it's about to be interesting.
It really is. But we need some feel-good news. Please, please, please let us know about this amazing marine biologist.
Yes, yes, we have an amazing marine biologist, Ms. Soleka Philander. Now, listen, she is quite a trailblazer because she's actually high respected in the field that has turned her attention in marine science. Now, she's originally from Kokstad in KZN.
Oh, wow.
So, and when she was younger, she actually never knew. Oh, she knew about the ocean, but she was like, she wants to find out more. Because small town, you don't really get the opportunity to go in the ocean and to discover and really explore. Mm. So now she actually is able to focus her work on documenting and identifying all of the invertebrates that actually exist on the Antarctic seabed.
What?
Literally. And she also found that it's actually so important because finding out what's there on the seabed of Antarctica basically kind of allows us to find out, okay, this was how the world was before.
Okay.
And this is how, this kind of helps the natural resources and the climate. Because, listen, if the ice caps melt,
it's not looking good for anybody.
Yeah, it's chai.
It's not looking good for anybody.
Hey, those ice caps are melting. Hey.
From Kokstad to Antarctica, that's amazing.
It is. And like, she's now even traveling with German marine biologists. And like, she did admit that as a South African, especially in a woman, a black woman in the field, it is quite expensive.
I can imagine.
Because going to the sea, getting a boat, getting the documents, going to Antarctica is costly.
The research on its own also.
It is costly. Mm. But luckily, she's like, it's all worth it. Because at the end of the day, she also wants more scientific information to be accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
Children like her who are from the rural areas who don't really know much about the ocean and be inspired to be like, listen, I can go to the ocean. I can go to space. Yes. I can learn about these things.
It's so possible.
You know? So it's just so interesting to hear her story and just to hear that she's in Antarctica looking at like, what's going on with y'all? Like, I love it.
Who represents us in Antarctica, girl? Like, I really am like, I think I look forward to like the body of work that will be released from that. It's so interesting how the findings of all of these things actually impact quite a lot of the way we move about life. So you'll see like even, I think economically it will, and socially, it affects us in some way. So that information is very vital. I love that.
Like, it's really interesting because
representation is very important.
Especially as Africa, we have a lot of ports and we do a lot of fishing, a lot of marine life, even tourism. So having that research really helps and just like, we can get it moving, you know?
I mean, look at NMU, we have Ocean Sciences Campus. It's dedicated to the sciences. It's dedicated to just like finding out what's going on in the ocean, how best we can work with it, how best to take care of it. Oh, I like this.
I like it too.
I like it. And you know what? It's very worrisome considering the fact that teachers are telling kids, like, maybe not.
Hey, that's a whole nother. Listen.
But we need context.
Yes.
We need context. We're not going to just come at the teachers just roughly. But yes, marine biology is an amazing thing to go into. And I think hearing about people who are so confident and so passionate about that and seeing them also achieve their dreams, even though they're expensive,
we love it.
Big props.
But as you said, hey, the high schools.
Yeah, the high schools are saying many things.
Yeah, the high schools, many high schools are saying, listen, students, get out of pure maths and go to math lit. They are just like, the pass rates of a lot of high schools are actually dropping.
Because of pure math?
Maths.
Whoa.
Like, it's actually insane because in 2018, 43% of pupils had enrolled for pure maths.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's only 36% in 2024.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
From 48 to 36%.
That is a massive decrease. Over 10%.
It is. It's crazy. And like, I get from the high school perspective, I can understand, you know, they just want the kids to pass and you'll save the reputation.
And also get it as a high schooler myself. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. In order for me to be able to have gotten the marks that I did, I had to go to school Sunday to Sunday.
Literally.
I had Saturday school and that Saturday school also worked on a Sunday and was mainly because of science and math.
Maths. and even during recess.
Yeah.
Winter school.
You don't have holidays.
Hey.
Those don't exist, especially in matric, that doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
But they taught us quite early that even in grade 11, the thing doesn't exist. You're going to do the work.
Like,
you're going to be here Sunday to Sunday, effectively. And it's a lot, and it's strenuous.
It is.
It's strenuous, I'm not going to lie. Maths is strenuous. It's a lot.
Like, it is a lot.
This is like three papers that we have to write, isn't there?
Yeah. No, there's two. Yeah, it's two, actually.
But that's still a lot.
It's still a lot.
Oh, so the fact that I have to write more than one paper for maths is more than enough. Look, in English and Afrikaans, I understand why. Sometimes, you know, you got to pick up the marks where you can.
True.
Get what you need to.
Yeah.
But maths.
And when both papers hit you.
There's like where you're like, okay, now at this point, let me just try to fight for my life.
Paper one, it killed you. Paper two finishes you. So now you're like, what must happen?
And you're looking at shapes. All of this to try and figure out the angles in a shape. And then you have to prove whether or not the triangles are the same or similar.
And it's like 10 marks for one question.
Exactly.
You have nothing to say.
And
what must happen?
And I'm spending 30 minutes on this one 10 mark question.
Yo.
I truly understand not going for pure maths.
Definitely.
I grew up in a family where like all of my cousins took pure maths. All of my cousins took science. So it kind of just made sense to just go
follow
in that
train.
Direction. Look what I'm doing now. Is anything about this mathematical?
Nope.
Did I have to calculate the angle at which I'm going to be sitting in the studio? No. But I understand how necessary it is, especially within the South African context.
True. Because like in the STEM field, now when you want to get into STEM,
exactly.
What happens? Because even like, for example, NWU recently, like with a lot of their programs, they have extended programs for learners. Like, let's just say you did maths lit, rather. But you can take an extended program, which is like maybe 3-4 years, to where you can actually kind of get your maths to a certain level to do a certain program, especially in STEM. But they're like, at the same time, we cannot be teaching kids basic foundational things about maths that they're supposed to learn in high school.
There's just no way they're going to be able to do that. It's just going to be too strenuous. But also, there's the funding issue of the fact that, you could do maths lit and then go into maybe a bridging course or whatever in varsity and stuff. How many years do you think NSFAS is going to be able to carry you?
That's another thing.
That is a very long time for you to be at school pursuing that career, doing everything, only to come out and have what exactly? Because, I mean, looking at jobs in STEM, the digital economy expansion could produce up to 1.2 million jobs in AI, cybersecurity, and cloud computing, which is absolutely amazing.
You know,
we also do need to look at it though as an elite industry. This is an elite industry. The best of the best of the best, whose best of the best, are going to it. So you have to understand, these people are coders. They're knowing what they're doing. You also have to know what you're doing. Like, you have to go into it understanding it. It makes sense for you to do maths in high school.
True.
Don't waste time when you get to varsity. Get to it.
But at the same time, it's like, you also need to be aware that in order to get in such a field, you need 90% and above.
Exactly.
To do such.
And so I think yes, teachers are unable to like deal with students maybe not being able to grasp certain things. But that means then having to provide support for said students.
Definitely.
But how do we then provide support for students in, let's say, rural areas?
Exactly.
How do you provide support? How do you give them extra classes when they are from a child-headed household and they are the head of that house? They have to go home. They have to cook, clean, take care of their siblings and their family. And then they still have to focus on high school and getting through that. And then what about varsity? What does that mean for their family? It's a very big thing, but I feel like support is so necessary.
Definitely. And even on the teacher front, it also speaks to the lack of teachers, because
exactly.
How is one teacher supposed to give support to like 50, 60 students in a class?
Oh.
Like, it just raises so many questions.
And especially if it's teachers who are not qualified in that.
Exactly.
I had a physics teacher who was first a maths teacher in grade 10. I lost my entire year of grade 10. I'm not going to lie to you. I know nothing about grade 10 physics because of that. She wasn't trained to do that. She knew maths as like better than anybody. Amazing.
Yeah.
Terrible at physics. And you know what? You have your strengths. But now, understanding the fact that it's a population problem. There's a lot of students and they need a physics teacher. So you need to show up. Now imagine then somebody who studied humanities possibly going and teaching maths.
It's like, what do you expect to happen?
Because what I'm gonna tell you is let's talk about Newton as a philosopher.
Yeah.
Let's actually unpack Newton's thinkings and whatever.
Let's not get to the calculation.
I can't be telling you about the force of gravity and the gravitational pull and that it needs those people.
Mm.
So if less people are going into STEM fields, that means less teachers. That means also less people within the industry.
Mm.
And that is very, very, very bad.
True, because it also poses the question, if people are not going to STEM, where are they going?
Exactly.
And then
are there jobs where they're going?
Mm.
And then what does that mean for us with regards to cloud computing and AI and cybersecurity? What about our cybersecurity? Mm. What do we know about our cybersecurity? We don't know much about it.
So if there's nobody monitoring that, hey.
Murky waters.
It is murky waters, Jem. Like, when you think about it, yo. Hi. Yeah.
No. Well, look, the current affairs desk is eating good.
Literally.
We're eating so good.
So many different topics.
Many things. And there's still more. That's also another thing. Pella, we haven't unpacked things like your Floyd Shivambu's getting fired and removed and all that. It's SRC election season. There are a lot of things happening on any of our campuses, wherever you look. Science is going insane. Do you know about the events that are happening within the science field? Within any of the other fields? No. We don't know what's going on technologically.
We don't know what's going on in engineering.
Exactly.
So
do you understand why you need us?
Exactly.
Every Tuesday you need us.
Mm.
Sitting with you, unpacking these issues. Let us know what you think. Madiba's Radio on all our social media platforms. I am Katlego Mofokeng. And you can find me as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets.
Period.
Where can we find you?
You can catch me at Katela.Cligo on Instagram and on Facebook at Cligo K in Jlovu.
This has been amazing.
Literally.
It's been a lot of gossip.
Hey.
But you know what? We informed you in the process. Mm,
we kept it real.
We really did. Mm. Reach out to us if you have questions, if you have anything that you want us to know. We'll definitely give you a shout out. I mean, we're a people's people.
Exactly.
Yes. This has been the Law Show and Science Package podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.
Same time.
Bye.
Bye.
The best youth station in the Bay.